From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, May 14th. Today on the podcast...
And he just starts yelling at me, saying, "You don't belong here. We can't have people like you here." You know, I mean, he said, the governor was very clear, "We don't want any of your kind here."
First, today's headlines.
The Vermont Health Department continues to increase COVID-19 testing. The state reported just 2 new cases yesterday, bringing the total to 929. More than 21,000 tests have been administered. There are currently 5 people hospitalized in Vermont, and 789 people have recovered.
And the Department of Corrections recently managed to get a large outbreak of COVID-19 at a prison in Franklin County under control. But now there are problems at a second facility. A staff member at the women's prison in South Burlington has tested positive, and now all untested staff and inmates will be checked for the virus.
The legislature is working to adjust the state budget for the current fiscal year as Vermont grapples with growing costs and dropping revenues due to the pandemic. The state expects to see a decline in tax revenues of $52 million this year. A proposal out this week would allocate $5 million in federal money to the court system. That's so the court system can work remotely. Another $10 million from the feds would be split between the University of Vermont and the state college system. That would cover the cost of room and board refunds to students who had to leave campus.
And as we've been hearing, Vermont has been doing a pretty good job of controlling the COVID-19 pandemic. To keep the number of cases down, Governor Phil Scott has tried to limit how many people come into the state, and he's requiring those arriving in Vermont to quarantine themselves for 14 days. And last week, he flatly urged out-of-staters to stay away. But as Howard Weiss-Tisman reports, some second homeowners say those policies foster fear and even encourage racist attacks.
A few days before Mother's Day, Chris Brown was driving around the Upper Valley with his son, looking for a nice gift for Mom. Brown is from New York City. He's a professor at Columbia University, and with school out, he and his family have been waiting out the pandemic at their second home in Hartford. On his drive that day, he was flagged down by a guy who appeared upset about his New York license plate.
So I kind of roll down the window, and he just starts yelling at me, saying, "You don't belong here, you know, we can't have people like you here." You know, I mean, he said, you know, the governor was very clear, "We don't want any of your kind here."
Brown is African American, and he said the encounter felt racially charged. And he said because Governor Scott has been sending out the message that outsiders are not welcome here, his New York license plate gave this guy a good excuse to stop the car and unload on him.
There has not been enough attention to what people are hearing with these messages. It's one thing to say, if you come to the state quarantine, which makes a lot of sense. It's something else to say, we don't want people coming here.
Brown says Scott has been making tough decisions under tough circumstances. And Brown is following the rules by sticking around the house and wearing his mask whenever he leaves. But Brown says that as long as the message is going out that those from out of state need to stay away, people who are bigoted and racist will see it as a way to spread hate.
We don't need people in the state turning on each other. We don't need people across state lines turning on each other. We've got enough to deal with this thing.
Governor Scott called Brown to apologize for the incident, and at his press conference Wednesday, the governor addressed the incident publicly. The governor said that every time he talks about asking visitors not to come to Vermont, he stresses the importance of not turning that directive into an excuse for an us versus them scenario.
Here's the bottom line. This virus cannot be used as an excuse for hate, bigotry, or division of any type, for any reason. This virus knows no border, and it doesn't discriminate. We're all in this together, and human decency will get us through this challenging time. Let's remember, our common enemy is the virus, not each other. And we should use every ounce of energy to defeat it.
But Brown is not the only second homeowner who's had to deal with the fallout from the push to limit out-of-staters. Jennifer Bonomo and her family live in New Jersey, and they closed on their second home in Weston about a year ago. Bonomo was born in Korea. She was adopted by an American family when she was two and grew up in western Pennsylvania, where she says she was one of the very few non-white kids in town. So she's used to the stares and feeling like an outsider. But before the pandemic, Bonomo says she never encountered outright racism or hostility from anyone in Vermont. And so she and her husband, who is white, were surprised and upset to come out of the store recently and find a sticker on her car that said, "Locals only."
You know that feeling where you get in your gut, that uncomfortable feeling? It's that's how racism feels like. Because I grew up with it, I know. So to me, the impact wasn't as great to me because I'm used to it than to him. It hurt him to the core.
There's a lot of anti-Asian sentiment right now after China was the early epicenter of the pandemic. And so Bonomo is not sure if it's her race or her New Jersey license plate that encouraged someone to slap the sticker on her car. She said when authorities are counting out-of-state license plates at the border and the governor is asking people to stay away from Vermont, it spreads fear.
Governor Scott had mentioned that there are some cases of outsiders that brought in the virus there. And then I heard stories of police stopping people, asking them where they're going, what are they doing. And so it kind of gave us that, terrified moment where, oh crap, are we going to be sequestered to our home in New Jersey? Are we going to be sent back? Or what? What's the deal here?
Scott will continue to have to walk a fine line between keeping people safe and relaying a clear message about how out-of-state visitors fit into that plan. For VPR News, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
On Wednesday afternoon, the Vermont State Police announced that they're investigating the incident involving the Brown family in Hartford. Police are asking anyone with information to call the authorities.
All right, for this next story, VPR's Morning Edition host Mitch Wortlieb didn't have to travel very far. Here's Mitch.
It wasn't all that long ago that I was able to do this. That was me back in late February drawing the attention of Karen McCadden's dog when I knocked on the door. McCadden is a poet who happens to live just a few steps away from my own home in South Burlington. We had arranged to speak about her new book of poems called Keep This to Yourself.
Hey, Mitch, how are we doing? Do you want a thing to, like, lean on, or is this want this table over here? Let's do this.
We
can sit closer if you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna move a little bit closer. It seems like forever and a day ago now when the idea of moving closer to someone to get a good recording didn't seem like such a dangerous thing to do. Now, of course, McCadden and I wave to each other from a safe distance. On that day in February, though, we spoke about a collection of poetry that was born of grief from a health problem very different from COVID-19, but no less devastating, the opioid epidemic.
It's the great irony, right? People's behavior when they're addicts often becomes conflated with who you think they are.
McCadden is talking about her younger brother, Jim, her only sibling, who was in his late 40s when he died in 2018 from an overdose of heroin laced with fentanyl in Massachusetts, where he was living. McCadden says her brother's struggle with addiction started in his teens when he sought pain medication after a dirt bike accident that left him with a broken neck. He turned to heroin as he got older, but McCadden says even in the throes of his worst drug lapses, her brother was someone people loved to be around.
Regardless of how difficult his life was or regardless of his behaviors, he was always an intensely sweet person. He was a great father and a deeply loving person.
The poems in Keep This to Yourself are all about her brother and his death that left McCadden an only child. I asked McCadden to read the last poem from this slim volume. It's called Weeks After My Brother Overdoses.
I search Craigslist for sadness, a white couch the only result. Happiness lands red shipping containers, and that's it. I wander through days like an envelope marked, please forward. Listen, my brother is a ghost. I keep thinking I am not a sister anymore, though others assure me I still am. Just sister them, builders say, to make a thicker beam or to span a distance. Join the faces of 2x6s with nails. Make more from less. Make do. No one will let me have my sadness or tally what I've lost. I make lists like recipes for how to go on alone. I draw his death when I doodle, making little crime scenes. As if this epidemic were a murderer, a suspect, a criminal. I draw him on every sidewalk to inflate the numbers, to give my brother to everyone. Inside the outline, I do some math. I add him to 72,000 and subtract him from me.
That figure of 72,000 is the number of people lost to overdose deaths in America in 2018, the same year Karen McCadden lost her brother Jim. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.
And now a look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. Sun filtering through increasing high clouds and highs from the upper 50s to mid 60s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency.
We had reporting today from Howard Weiss-Tisman, Amy Kolb-Noyes, Mitch Wertlieb, Emily Corwin, and John Dillon. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.